Bad Culture Podcast. It's been a while. We're back. I'm joined by Franchette and Danny. We've got all three of us for the first time in a while as well. So what's going on, boys? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic. I think two out of three of us are feeling great. And so, unfortunately for Dan, I think the Mercato's got to him.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. I'm sure Dan can share his sentiments about certain transfers that didn't happen and may happen soon. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We've been gone for about, I think, a little over a month, which, you know, we started to take a little bit of a break. You know, we do podcasts every week throughout the season. So we thought it'd be a good chance to, you know, kind of recoup, let things happen organically and talk about them once they're all complete. And there's a lot of done deals that went down. Like, we didn't talk about Lukaku returning to Inter yet. Di Maria to Juve. I think it happened like a week or two ago. Pogba, which everyone knew about Pogba for a while, but officially, I think it's like a week ago or two. It's like Di Maria. Same day. A lot of stuff to talk about. Dybala to Rome, obviously. I know a lot of people want to hear me talk about that. I've been ranting about that on Twitter. And yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get into. It's kind of hard to even decide where to start. But before we do get started, I'd like to shout out SteadyOffFantasy.com. It's a SteadyOff Fantasy League. You know, if you have any friends that want to play in there, feel free to go ahead and check it out. We will be putting on a league and inviting all of you guys if you want to join us and create your fantasy teams. We'll be doing that sometime this week. So I'll let you know and stay updated on our social media, which, you know, at Six Side Culture, both Instagram and Twitter. But yeah, SteadyOffFantasy.com. Check it out. They're great. They're going to have an app coming out towards the end of the year as well, which will be cool. So feel free to go check them out and yeah, sign up. But back to the pod. I don't know, guys. Where do we start here? I say Lukaku because that's kind of like the even though it's obviously the interesting, it's a big move for Inter, but maybe like the least talked about move because, you know, everyone knows what he can do. We've seen him before and said, yeah, I feel like a new name coming here. So Lukaku, I guess I'll start off quick. We know what he can do in the Serie A when he's on his game. One of the best strikers, well, not one of the best. He's the best striker in Serie A when he's healthy and feeling himself Inter. I think he's one of those guys that needs to be loved and needs to be the center of attention, I feel like. At Chelsea, he wasn't that because there's so many great players there. Like Mason Mount, to me, I don't watch Chelsea, but he seems like the guy everyone loves, you know, he grew up in the academy, all that stuff. He seems like the center of attention. Lukaku was not. And I feel like that kind of hurt him maybe a little bit. I think he likes the pressure. I think he likes having the fan support and being the focal point of an attack or of a team. And I also think the Serie A, the style of play suits him very well. Although the Serie A is, you know, starting to become an attacking league slowly as they keep going on here through the years, you know. The goal count of every year is going up and up and up each year. But I don't know. I think Lukaku really suits the Serie A well. He understands Inter. He knows how to play Flattaro. The manager's new, but, you know, I'm sure it won't take him too long to get, you know, into Inzaghi's system. He probably has. It's been a month now practicing with him. So, yeah, obviously it's a great move. It's a loan, I think, for $10 million. And we'll see if they bring him back at the end of the year. I think it's a low-risk, potential high-reward scenario. So, yeah, I think it's good for Lukaku and Inter. I guess, Franchette, if you want to share your thoughts on the move.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say this was great business by Morata. Conte crafted Lukaku into an animal. They sold him to Chelsea, and everyone knew he was going to flop at Chelsea. I don't know if it's the league or what it is, but Lukaku just never performs in the Premier League apart from Everton. Like you said, Enz, I think he needs to be the center of attention because when he's not, he kind of just goes into a slump and he doesn't perform well. That's what happened at Chelsea. It's what happened at United. But he sold Lukaku to Chelsea, and then he brought him back for pennies for a loan. I think it's going to be incredible for Inter. Lukaku just looks bad on him because it looks like he went for a bigger challenge. He failed, and now he's crawled back to Inter. But you know what? I respect the fans for what they said. They said he's not going to be treated a king yet. He has to earn that back. So fair play to the fans, the Cordova. And I think that's exactly what Lukaku needs to do. He needs to earn that love back from the Inter fans. But from Inter's perspective, it's a great move. From Lukaku's perspective, it just looks like he's crawling back.
Yeah, no, I think it's for Inter's sake, I think it's a great move, especially because Martinez, they also have Martinez as well, who last year he played unbelievable in the second half of the season. And they get back that pairing that they like. And especially with the addition to Mkhitaryan, who I feel like he might have more of a creative role this year. And they might need someone to step in and create a lot of chances, be that box-to-box guy, be that playmaker, which they lost Perisic. And then bringing in Lukaku adds goals to the team. They already have they already signed Asllani from Empoli, who I think could be a very solid addition for them. And just adding Lukaku on top with Martinez beside him, it's going to be a good duel to look out for once again. And I feel like Inter got stronger this year, even though they did lose Perisic, where you can argue that it was probably their best player last year. I feel like they did get stronger because of just the additions they've been making in the back and also with up top with Lukaku. Depending on Skriniar's situation, but with Lukaku, I feel like their attack just got a little bit better, especially bringing in the likes of Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, yeah, Mkhitaryan, that's another good point, then. That's a great sign. I think, in my opinion, he was Roma's best player last year alongside maybe Smalling, Tammy Abraham, and Pellegrini. He's up there anyways. So, yeah, great signing for Inter to have, you know, a player like Mkhitaryan to come off the bench and even start some games. And, you know, the drop-off from a starter to a bench player won't be big at all. If anything, it'll remain the same, right? Even get better, you know, a fresh Mkhitaryan off the bench. So, yeah, you need players like him to, you know, balanced Champions League and Serie A and Coppa Italia. So, yeah, very good signing for Inter of Mkhitaryan as well. And I like how they didn't sell too many players as well, because I think when you have a group that plays together for a couple of years in a row, like even South Napoli and Stadi, the chemistry was unreal. Jorginho, Koulibaly, Senior, Mertens, Gallion, all these guys, when you played together for a long time, and even Juve for the 9-year run they had with the Scudetti, you know, more or less pretty much the same core with a couple of guys added around each year. And it really does pay dividends. And, you know, sometimes it could be a kind of like a new Mercato acquisition, another year of playing together. Makes it that much better. So, yeah, a great move for Inter to get Lukaku. And we'll see what they can do. I'm sure, you know, like Dan said, they got better. And I'm sure they'll put on a great performance and season for their fans. Now, moving on, Bremer, who I think we should get out of the way here. For those of you who don't know, I'm sure you do by now, though. Juventus are trying to hijack the move at the moment for Bremer. Obviously, no, he's a great player. Torino, he was voted the best center back last year. He's quick, he's strong, pretty good at his feet, he's smart, good in the air. Like, he doesn't really have a weakness, to be honest. I don't even recall someone like blowing by him once. Like, top of my head, I can't think of any moment that happened. So, yeah, that's how good he is. And, Juve, they sold De Ligt, which, you know, I'm not going to talk about now because that is a topic for later on we have, but they need a replacement. And Bremer, in my opinion, is actually an upgrade over De Ligt. I don't think De Ligt ever lived up to his potential. Juventus, he's still young, so he still could. But as of right now, who the better player is, I'd say Bremer pretty easily. And be a great signing for Juve to, you know, sell De Ligt for 80 million and then get someone like Bremer for 30, 40 million now they're offering. So, we'll see what happens with this. I'm sure by the end of the podcast, you know, when we post it, knowing our luck, the deal will be done for whoever goes to Inter or Juve. Right now, Inter offering about 30 million, Juve offering 40. And Di Marzio didn't say how much the wages will be, but they said Juve are offering more. So, you know, it looks like he's going to go to Juve, in my opinion. I'm sure to others as well. But we'll see if Inter's going to up their offer. We're yet to know about that. But
I think they said to. I think they said too, prior to us recording, I think Inter are going to meet with Bremer's entourage again.
Yeah, I saw that. So, and that meeting, if they can't come to agreement and match Juve, then I'm sure, you know, become a Juventus player at some point today. But if Inter can, you know, they've been talking to him for a while. I'm sure he understands what Inzaghi wants from them. I'm sure for the last month, they've been explaining the project and what role he's been playing the team. I'm sure with Inter, they can match it, but I'm not sure if they will match it because they have a lot of salaries on the books. Inter, and Lukaku again, Sanchez making quite a bit of money, Jekyll, you know, making quite a bit of money. A lot of guys were just bench players, making quite a bit of money. Even Mkhitaryan getting paid, I think, $3.5 million, I believe. So, yeah, they're paying quite a few guys off the bench a lot of money. So they can't really afford to, you know, continue forking out these huge wages and plus play transfer fee now. So, we'll see, but, Franchet, you know, don't get too much into De Ligt, but what do you think about Bremer? Where things going to end up and what can he bring to Juve?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he ends up at Juve. I'm not going to get too much into De Ligt now, but With Dalot leaving, there's only so many center backs on the market right now. Obviously, our number one target was Koulibaly, who left for Chelsea, unfortunately. I would have personally preferred Skriniar over Bremer. I think he would have been a better viable option for us. But Bremer is the most realistic viable option for us. And if Inter get him and Juve don't, I think we're screwed on center backs. I mean, at that rate, we would have to go with someone like Pau Torres, who I think is a great center back, but just not a starting quality center back for the big Champions League games and the big Serie A games. But I think Bremer, hopefully he does come to Juve. I mean, like you said, and Juve are offering Torino more money. We're offering Bremer more money. It's a no-brainer for me. If I was Bremer, you're going to a better team. Inter have a very strong team. But I think when you look at Juventus versus Inter, I think Juventus has a better project for this upcoming season than Inter does. I think Inter kind of had that project, and then Lukaku came crawling back, and now they're kind of in all sorts. They were looking to bring in Dybala, and obviously, as we're going to talk about later, that didn't go to plan. So I think Lukaku kind of put a halt in a project that they were trying to build. And now with Bremer, I think he's going to see that, and he's going to look at that. And he's going to have to evaluate his options. But I was reading reports earlier that Inter were crying to Torino, saying that they had an agreement already in place and Torino needed to respect that. But I don't think Inter understand that if you're trying to sell a player, you want to get the most money possible. So if Inter's offering 30 or 35 and Juve's offering 40, it's a no-brainer for Torino to go with Juve, who are offering 40. So I think that's kind of what's happening now. And like you said, I think this meeting with Inter and Bremer is going to be crucial. And if it doesn't get sealed today in the next couple of hours, then Juve's pouncing on him, and I think he's going to be a Bianconero.
Yeah. I think Bremer would probably suit Inter more because of just the style that he's going from, because Inter are the type of team they will play a back five if they have to, especially if they have Bastoni, Bremer in the middle, and then De Vrij on the other side of backs. And I feel like at Juve, he would probably be playing the back two because they really don't have the center back depth to play a back three, especially like now with the only center backs you guys have are Bonucci, Gatti, and Rugani. So I feel like he might want to go to a team that he knows his style might benefit him, because going to a back two and a back three, you have to kind of change the way you play. And I feel like his best fit will be at Inter, but we'll see. And even if Inter do get Bremer and Juve end up with Pau Torres, there's nothing you should be complaining about, because Pau Torres is actually a quality center back, and he's played in these big games in Champions League with Villarreal. They made it to the semi-finals of Champions League, and he was a big part of that. He was incredible throughout the whole tournament. I feel like he was probably their best player at times, and I feel like Pau Torres at Juve would suit more because of just the style, and he would probably go for around the same price, and I believe he's the same age, maybe a year younger than Bremer. So I feel like Pau Torres might suit Juve more, and I feel like he's the type of player that if he gets into the Juve starting 11, I feel like he will adjust better than, say, Bremer, because of just the way they've been playing both styles. So for me, I think Bremer ends up at Inter, and I feel like the deal could be done in the next maybe week or so. And I feel like Juve will pounce on Pau Torres after.
Yeah, Dan, you made a good point about the formation. Yeah, Bremer did play in a three-back mostly, and it is a big change to go from a three-back to a two-back. Like, responsibilities completely change, and you know, I'm sure he can learn how to play the two back, you know, but same time, I think he would suit Inter better stylistically, the way they play. I think he'd suit them big time. Even if they could keep Skriniar and get Bremer in there, like that's a scary team right there defensively. But yeah, I feel like you will end up at Juve, to be honest, though. It's the money's vastly different unless Inter can match. If they match it, then I think there's no doubt he'll end up going to Inter.
I think they're just weighing on Skriniar because of PSG. I know PSG were finalizing, they might want to sell Diallo, and maybe Kimpembe might be out the door. So I feel like PSG are just waiting on those two players before they make a move towards Skriniar.
Yeah, which, to be honest, I don't really understand it. Like, how much are they selling Skriniar for?
70 million, I think. Close to maybe 65, 70 million.
I can understand that.
That's,
you know,
that's the report that I saw, but for me, if I'm Inter, I would try to get more for him, to be honest, especially if a team like PSG's.
PSG easily get 100 mil from them.
Like,
no problem.
Easily, you could probably easily get like 80, 90 million. Just, so you listen, we want 80, 90 million. And PSG, if they're willing to.
I don't think to pay it that much.
PSG are spending money like out of nowhere on all these Portuguese talents. So I feel
they
like
even offered 40 mil for
Scamacca too.
I don't think he's worth that much. Well, yeah, I mean, I push it more for I think more money, but also I think PSG know that Inter are waiting for money to go and get from it. So they're kind of playing the long game right now. PSG, they know they don't need to pay that much, but if because I'm sure they know Inter are waiting for Romero, so. Playing mind games to get a cheaper price as well. I can see that happening, but yeah, if there's no money involved, no nothing, based on better fit, I'd say Bremer Inter is a match made in heaven. But I just think, you know, money talks, and I feel like they end up at Juventus if they can't match their offer in South Skriniar. But we'll see what happens. The Mercato's it's a game at the end of the day. It really is. It's mind games, and a lot of stuff goes on. Who knows what will happen? Things change. Like, you'd be surprised. Like, by
who knows
the second.
If, like, you know what I mean? Who knows if half these teams are even linked with these players? Sometimes they just say it. So then Inter can, like, okay, hurry up. We'll give you the money you want. Like, sometimes it's just, like, strategy, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, man. I mean, Di Marzio, I believe him. Like, if there's a mind game, he'd probably say, like, he said it a couple times. And, oh, I think this team's interested in this guy. Player A is, you know, linked to player team B because, you know.
Yeah.
This team wants this amount of money, but I feel like there is like genuine interest in this case in the player. But I don't know, we'll see what happens. I'm sure, to be honest, when this podcast gets dropped, you know, the decision would have been made already. So, this might be outdated. So, if it is, feel free to skip ahead. I'm sure you guys already did if it is outdated. But yeah, moving on now, Luka Jovic, you know, quickly touch on him. I think it's a great pickup for Fiorentina. He's on loan, I believe, correct?
I do believe on loan with obligation. I think it's option to buy after, I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but it's loan for sure.
Yeah. Obligation, I'm not sure if Fiorentina can really afford him straight out. So, yeah, it must be an option. Yeah, I think it's a great deal, you know. And to be honest, I don't even think it's – obviously, Vlahovic did well at Fiorentina, but I think it's the way Italiano plays where he gets the best out of strikers. You know, I think Cabral did well. We saw Piontek did well early on. Like, just the way they play – if you can get a good finisher in the box, then most strikers will do well under Italiano. We saw Juve, obviously, Vlahovic did well, but well, not the Fiorentina Vlahovic we saw.
It's
two completely different styles of play.
That was only 6 months. I think this season he's going to be much
better. Yeah, definitely. But 6 months.
I think he joined on a permanent
time
deal.
To judge a player.
Yeah, it's a permanent deal. Yeah, permanent deal until official. This is from Romano. Official confirmed. Luka Jovic joins Fiorentina on a permanent deal from Real Madrid. Contract until 2024.
Yeah,
and they
mean, if your team Fiorentina
also signed Grellini.
Oh, that's a good sign too. Yeah, yeah, they're making moves and they have been for the last couple of years now. And I think Jovic, you know, you're willing to take a risk on him if you're a team like Fiorentina because you know all the hype he had a couple of years ago did well in Champions League as well. Like. Well, not Champions, what am I saying? But in the Bundesliga, did really well. And even his style of play really suits Italiano, so I can see why they went after him. He's very good.
What,
yeah, in Europa League, he did well, yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a great signing for Fiorentina. I think he can have a similar Vlahovic effect. And like I said, Vlahovic, 6 months at Juve, did well, but not when we saw Fiorentina. And I think that just comes to the style of play. The way Italiano plays, he really sets up his strikers well. Really well.
I think he'll do well at Fiorentina too because they still have Carabal, who's a good player. He against Napoli made him look like a prime R9.
Yeah, I remember
he's
that.
He's a good
game.
Player, and yeah, they still have guys like Gonzalez who's going to create. They got a decent midfield as well. They have Sotil, who I feel like he could have a good impact this year as well. I think we signed San Granada as well. I could be wrong.
I
they renewed his
is.
Contract. Who he's been? I think he's been an underrated player for them every
player,
time.
Right?
Every time I've seen him play for Fiorentina, he's been someone that creates a lot of chances. There's misses here and there, but I feel like Fiorentina they have a good core of players now, just playing with Jovic, Carvalho, So who knows if they might do maybe a 4-2-2, maybe have Carvalho and Jovic play together. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, but Jovic, I feel like it's a good pickup. And I feel like at Madrid, they rushed him. I feel like he could have stayed one more year. There was like talks where people were saying that he could have even stayed that extra year at Frankfurt, maybe even get loaned back out, like say Madrid bought him, but loan him out just so he could get more like time underneath his belt. And I feel like going to a team like Fiorentina where there's not much pressure on him to replace like a likes of Ronaldo. And it's a league that's more similar to Bundesliga than it is to La Liga. So I feel like he might succeed here, and who knows? Maybe Fiorentina has got another gem on their hands as well.
Yeah, and especially considering his role will literally just be you sit in a box and you finish with the chances you get. Like that's going to be his role. It's not going to be all come outside
where
the box.
Where Gondas will create that. Like 90 chances a game because that's what he does.
His role will be a finisher. I could see him easily getting 10, maybe even 15 goals this season, which I think will be incredible. And maybe more, but I think it's tough to ask for. But 10 goals is already a big win for a team that get 10 goals from him. And they also got Nico Gonzalez to get goals from and all the guys around him, Cabral. So, yeah, they're a very good team, great signing for them. And it could end up being a steal. You know, Jovic has a lot of talent. He can really show it, and we'll see. Richie, what do you think about the move?
No, I think, like you said, I think it's a fantastic move, obviously. He had a lot of hype around him a couple years ago, got that big move to Madrid. It didn't work out for him, but then he went to Frankfurt, rediscovered his form. And I think at Fiorentina, I think, like you said, and it's going to be like a Vlahovic-type player. I think he's going to excel in the league. I think the league fits his play style very well. Fiorentina are going to look dangerous with him. And I think they finally, with Piontek, I think that was just a temporary fix for Vlahovic. But I think with Jovic, this is a permanent fix, and this is a fantastic replacement. I think he's going to, for me, I think Vlahovic is just a bit better, but I think Jovic is going to be able to lead Fiorentina to where they wanted to be led to from where Vlahovic was.
Yeah, 100%. And hopefully off the field, you know, I know this thing where, you know, doesn't stay in shape, or even what happened in quarantine, broke his toe or something playing.
Like he broke, he was
inside his house or something.
I think he was playing table soccer or something.
Off the pitch, he's a little bit unprofessional. But, you know, when you have someone like Italiano, he's going to be on you. Like, that won't be happening with Italiano. I'll tell you that.
Of course not.
To be honest, I hope Italiano can send, a draft of his tactics to Roberto Mancini. Because, to be honest, he sets up breakers perfectly. And our strikers maybe can't score goals. So
it's true.
We really need that. Like, I honestly believe almost any striker under Italiano will get 10 goals the way he plays, easily, like any striker. So, yeah, hopefully Italy can, learn from him. But now moving on, quick little thing here. Ibra, you know, renewed his contract with Milan. We weren't sure if he's going to retire or not. I think he should have, to be honest, because, you know, what better way to retire than winning the Scudetto? But, yeah, I guess he has more he wants to prove. I guess, you know, Milan still believe he's valuable in the locker room, which I think he is as well. Only making $1 to $1.5 million a year, which is only 1 year, so which is great. And it's nice of him to take a big cut, like he should have anyways at the age of, what, 40, 41? Like,
I think he's like, close to that.
Yeah. I think it's a good move. It's not someone you're going to depend on to like be successful. He's someone that's going to be like an happy and helpful addition. If you do well, you know, he's there to help you come in here and there, be in the locker room. So, yeah, I think it's a good move. Why not? Last year for Ibra and we'll enjoy him while he's here and all of his antics. And what do you guys think about it? Any thoughts?
I think this year he might play more as like a mentor role than just playing wise, because last year he was, it seems like every game he was hurt. And also he's going to be a great addition to have off the bench. Like say if you need a goal, you bring in Ibra and he's the type of guy who will score you 2 goals. And I feel like that's the role he's going to play. He's going to be like more of a mentor for potential arrivals coming in, guys like Leal to take that bigger step this year, because there's going to be a lot of pressure on Leal to kind of recreate his form. Guys like Tonali to step up his game, even Origi too. I feel like Ibra is going to have if Origi is going to be successful in this league, I feel like a lot of it could come from Ibra, because Origi he's a good player and seems like he scores in every big moment. Every time there's a big game, Origi's scoring. So I feel like Ibra is going to probably have that impact on guys in the locker room, play that role off the bench when he has to. But I feel like this year he might take a little step back and be more of a mentor towards the players and then also those coming in, then say like an impact on the field as well.
Yeah, well said. Like you said, I think Ibra's going to have that mentor role. I think he's been having that role starting from last season. He knows he is slowing down a bit, and the injuries just keep racking up for him, which is unfortunate. But I think he still wants to stay at Milan just to make sure that the people coming up and the strikers coming up are capable of bringing Milan back to where they need to be. And I think Ibra's a huge help for that. In the locker room, I think Ibra motivates the entire team. I think he talks to the team and the team knows to listen to him because of how great his career was over the many years. I think he also helps Pioli with this. And then in training, I think he's a huge help with the strikers in the attack and kind of showing them tricks and tips of what to do. So I think this year, much of like last year, it's going to be a very similar role. He's just going to be in the locker room motivating the team. And then playing those games where he's absolutely needed. But I think for the first chunk of the season, he'll be mostly sidelined and in the locker room.
Yeah, well said. It's a move that on the field really won't probably offer much, but as a whole, and you know, in the locker room, it's going to offer a whole lot for very cheap. So yeah, great move by Milan. Now, this is where Prancek comes into play here. You know, Pogba, Di Maria, the situation, a lot of stuff coming up here. Start with Pogba, though, Prancek. I'll share my thoughts quick. Obviously, I believe he was number 10 before Dybala, and then he left. Dybala got the number, from what I can remember. So he got the number 10 back at Juve. We knew it was happening. Like, it was the worst hidden secret of all time. Like, he had the Pogmentry. Like, everyone knew about the deal, like, a month before the Pogmentry even came out. Like, everyone knew it was going to happen. He's back at Juventus, which he considers home. Which kind of funny because they considered Manchester home when he went back there because, you know, he grew up there playing. But now Juventus is home again all of a sudden, which I kind of find kind of funny. But no, it's a great deal for Juventus. He's free, so you're not going to risk too much. And, you know, when someone's in an environment they're happy in, they tend to, you know, do well. And he's very happy Juventus. He loves it there. And I'm sure he'll do well. Honestly, I don't know what to expect because I haven't watched Pogba consistently in, like, 5-6 years, whenever he left. So I'm not sure what to really say about him tactically and on the field. But, I mean, we'll see. We'll see soon. I said he has less than a month. And it's a low-risk, potential high-reward move. So we'll see what he can do. Dan, what do you think about Pogba before Richard gets in here?
Yeah, I think, like, at the time where he was in the Serie A, he was probably the best midfielder in Italy. And then he goes to United and he didn't live up to his price tag, obviously, because they ended up selling him for a free transfer. I just don't know if he can replicate that form again because of just the past few seasons he's had, and especially because, like, Allegri seems to be playing, like, I don't know, like, the way Allegri plays, seems like he's been playing more defensive than he was in the past, I feel like. And I just think maybe this year he might struggle this year, but who knows, maybe next season, maybe the year after, he'll find his form again. He just has to stay healthy. He just has to stay consistent because at United, there was times where he looked like he could be the best midfielder in the league, and there was times where he was the worst midfielder on the team and in the league. So I feel like he just has to find his form again. He has to just play the way he has at the time for when he was on Juve. And if he does that, then Juve have a steal of a deal. But I just feel like it might be hard for him because of just the past few seasons he's had, and especially because of Juve. They're not the same Juve team they were back then. There's a lot of different characters. Defensively, they're not as strong. Attackingly, yeah, with a healthy Chiesa, Vlahovic, and Di Maria, they could be better than they were, but I just feel like it might be hard for him to replicate that form because they don't really have a creative midfielder, and I feel like Pogba might have to be that type of guy.
Yeah, well said. Like you said, obviously when Pogba was here the first time, I think Juve had a much better team where he had less weight off his shoulders. Obviously he was playing beside Pirlo, Marchisio, Vidal. He looks behind him, it's Chiellini, Barzagli, Bonucci. Up top, you had Tevez, Morata, you know. Arguments that the attack is slightly better than when he was first here, but obviously everything else has gotten weaker, in a sense. So it's definitely going to be his midfield to run. And it's going to be interesting to see how, he is able to pick up that form. It's a fantastic signing. I'm so happy that Pogba came back. But like you said, Dan, he needs to find his form back. He needs to get back into that groove and he needs to play well because we really need it. And at the same time, the only thing I'm not too crazy about is that number 10 jersey. I think nowadays in the sport, and I'm sure we're going to talk about more when we talk about Dybala, but I think the number 10 is such an iconic jersey for a lot of teams and just in the history of the sport. And now it feels like it's just being thrown around. I feel like when Dybala got it from Pogba, I think it was deserved for what he's done at Juve already. And now when Pogba just comes back, I think the number 10 should be earned again. But nonetheless, he was given it back. I would have preferred if he took another number, earned it back, and then got the 10 back. But he is going to be wearing the number 10, which is all right. Hopefully he does live up to that expectation and that heavy, heavy jersey number. And hopefully we could start building back our midfield from where it was back in 2015.
I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens with Paul. I'm sure you and Tina are excited, and he's even off the pitch, he's, fun to have around. You see all these pictures he's posting with the players and all that. He's good for chemistry as well. So we'll see what happens. But I know a player that Franchet is dying to talk about. He's wanted him on Juve for quite a while now. Probably going to buy his kit, which, if you know Franchet well, like we do, he does not buy kits with a name at the back very often, very rare. And he said he's going to do it this time. So Angel Di Maria has joined Juventus also on a free. He's on, PSG, of course, before this. And, he's a very talented player, skilled. I'm sure he's going to rack up the assists in the Serie A. I can really see that happening. Might even be the leader for assists if he stays healthy. At 34 years old, and he's been injury prone his whole career as well. So we'll see if he can stay healthy. If Allegri can manage him right, then send him out the right games and play him, a safe amount of minutes, not just overplay him and overuse him against, teams he shouldn't be playing against, then, I'm sure Di Maria will be a great addition to Juventus. It's a one-year deal from my knowledge. And I think it's a win-win for Di Maria and for Juventus. For him, get a good opportunity to start on a big team at the end of his career. And for Juventus to get a player like him that's so creative and it's someone they've needed, especially, Chiesa not really going to be able to make an instant impact right at the gate for the season. It'll probably take him a couple months, to be the Chiesa that we all know. And, I think it's a great deal for Juventus, and I'm sure Franchet feels the same way. So, Dan, any thoughts before Franchet jumps in?
Yeah, no, I feel like this was probably their best signing of the summer. I feel like this is a signing that Juve fans were waiting for. Another creative player behind Chiesa. I feel like they've been missing that type of guy. Di Maria has always been a class player, even besides his United days, but we won't get into that because United, well, I'll say this, when players go to United, they're not the same players that they were. But on his days at Real Madrid, on Benfica, even at PSG, he's always been a class player, even for Argentina. I get to watch him all the time when Argentina play. He's an underrated player for us. He's scored some big goals. He's created a lot of chances. He's just a class player to have. And I feel like Juve fans will benefit from him. The only thing with him is the only downside is his pace might not be the same as it was a couple years ago, but he's still that type of player that you can let him cut it onto his left foot because he'll make you pay. He's got a wicked shot, even outside the box, inside the box. He can place it. He's got power on it. He's just a very class player, and I feel like Juve fans should be excited for him. And those who are not Juve fans, and me and you, we should. He's another guy that we have to worry about because he's the type of guy he can score from nothing. And yeah. I feel like teams will have to defend him really tight now.
Yeah, it's gonna be dangerous in the study, for sure. Franchet, I know you're smiling right now. Let's get going here. What do you think about Angel Di Maria joining Juventus?
And I'm honestly in disbelief. you know this better than anyone. Ends. Angel is one of my favorite players of all time. I've always loved him. I've always respected him. Obviously, at United, that stint like Danny said, no one does good at United. I remember watching him as a kid. Just seeing, obviously, in Canada here, it's very hard to get the City A unless you're paying for it. So when I would be watching games, it'd be the Premier League or it'd be like Barca versus Madrid. And seeing him on Madrid, and I just see this long, skinny player, and my eyes lit up. And ever since then, I've always loved him. I've always wanted him on Juve. I never thought it'd be a possibility. And then obviously, I got the pleasure and the honor of watching him live in front of my eyes. And obviously, watching him on TV, you see the things he does is incredible. But my God, watching him live, my jaw was dropped. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was seeing like a gift of God, almost the way he was on the pitch. Like the way he moves was incredible. I knew he was good, but watching him live, I saw him in a different light. Obviously, that's with a lot of players. Quickly, like seeing Messi live, obviously too. They're like, again, the things he does when you're on like live in the stadium watching him is uncanny to the eye. I couldn't believe myself. But Di Maria, my God, this guy's incredible. El Fedio, you know, the noodle. Like you said, I don't get many players on the back. I feel like I'm cursed. It all started when I was going to get the Pogba number 10 black and gold Juve kit. Right before I was about to purchase it, the news broke out that he was leaving Juve and going to United. So I never went through with that. I almost got a Dybala kit. And now obviously he's leaving. So I'm very, very protective with my kits. Obviously I almost got a Bonucci kit and then he went to Milan and then he came back home and I ended up getting that Bonucci kit. So I'm very protective with what kits I get because I feel like I'm cursed. But Di Maria is definitely, I'm buying his jersey 110%. I'm very excited for him. I was more excited for Di Maria than I am for Pogba, and I feel like a lot of Juventini are more excited for Pogba, obviously, but with Di Maria, like Danny said and Enzo said, the things he's going to offer for Juve is going to be incredible. The creativity in him, the way he's able to just glide past the defender and cut down to his left and shoot that ball. My God, I could only imagine in the Champions League what he's going to do to these teams. I thought he was going to get the number 11. Obviously, I thought Cuadrado was going to give it to him. But he said he chose number 22 because of last time he wore number 22, he won the Champions League with Madrid. And he said he knows how important it is to Juve. So already his visions and his goals is on that Champions League. Which one thing I was a little disappointed about Paul is he said we have to win the Scudetto back. And Di Maria is already talking about the Champions League. So I think that mindset is already going to be fantastic for us, and it's great for the locker room. So I can't wait for the season to start. And I know we've already had some friendly games with local teams, and he's already been on the score sheet and assisted some. So hopefully in the USA tour against Barca, Madrid, and some Mexican team I believe we're playing, hopefully he can continue to impress. And once the season starts going and getting started, hopefully he lives up to what I know he can.
Yeah, no, we knew. Well, I didn't think you'd see Jesus Christ when you watch him live, but I knew you liked him. And,
I'm Hal, the angel.
Yeah, fair enough. And it is true what you said. Like I said, you know, when you see them live, it's completely different. It really is. When you watch on TV, obviously, you know, you can appreciate what they do, but it feels like almost like it's very different. Like, on TV, it feels like not a video game. I don't want to say that, but it just doesn't. You see more of the. It's so hard to describe unless you, like, I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. You've seen
like, you see live, more, but like, what they're trying to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in person, yeah. You see, like, you'll see, like, a guy, say if you see a guy making a run, you'll see, like, for example, Di Maria look at the guy and pass it on TV. It's kind of hard. You just see him kick it. You go, oh, where's it going? Like, and then you see it after. So it's more like, see more, a lot more in the game, and you kind of see what they're seeing and, like, it kind of makes sense. Like, you kind of see, like, their vision in person rather than on TV.
And I feel like the word I want to use is, like, it humanizes them. Like, when you're actually there in front of them, you're like, holy cow, like, this human is able to change direction that quick. Or, like, when you're on TV, obviously, you see the whole field. So, like, how did that guy not see that pass? But you have to remember, he does not have the view you have. It's not FIFA, right? But when you're in person, you see, like, he makes, like, a cross-field pass to someone that's, like, on the other side of the field. Like, you don't know how he even saw him. Like, holy cow, like, he's really intelligent. Like, or what you assume, like they check their shoulder like every 2 seconds or like little things you don't see on TV, really appreciate in person. And like when they accelerate in person, like holy cow, they're really fast. Like on TV they look fast, but in person to actually see the human being himself like right in front of you move that quick with the ball at their feet, which is, you know, people underrate how hard it is really to not only run fast, but run fast with the ball and keep the same pace. Like it's not easy. So yeah, I like what Huffer Chen mentioned that as well. We're going to get to do it now. Just one thing quick. We didn't talk about yet, actually. IFTV, we got to meet Marco and Mike down here in Toronto. They came for a Toronto FC game. We came to hear La Paloma, local ice cream shop we have here. We got to play, you know, floaty with them, like I'm sure you guys saw our posts. And, yeah, shout out to them quick because they put on a great event there with the pickup match. Myself and Danny got to go. And Chad was at work, so he wasn't able to attend. But, yeah, it was fun. We got some great picks there. Great time. Got to meet a lot of, you know, Calcio fans, a lot of you. And it was a brilliant time. And I'm sure next year we'll do something similar to that. And we'll attend, of course. We'll make sure we get there. So shout out to Marco and Mike for that. I just wanted to bring that up because I forgot we didn't even talk about that. But, yeah, anyways, Dalit. I think that's the last kind of Juve topic we have here. Obviously, we know from Chet. I know you like him. I know a lot of Juve fans like him. Came from Ajax. He scored the goal to eliminate you guys. Saw how good he was, you know, up close and personal when he got to play against them. And I don't want to say that he was, well, obviously, I don't like Dalit at all because he injured Zaniolo. Everyone knows that. But he did well for Juventus. And obviously, you know, center backs do take longer to mature. They don't really hit their prime until like 26, 27. Well, everyone hits their prime 26, 27, but like they don't start showing a lot of growth until that age. Like, you know, you see younger players like, you know, Mbappe and all these guys like 19, 18, 20, 21. Like, you see them really come out of their
like
shell.
Like, defenders center takes them a while longer. Between like, yeah, between 25 and 27 is like, even 28 too, like you see them
really start to show improvement.
Yeah, they show the true color. They should be showing their true colors at that age.
Yeah, they begin to show it, and I honestly say like a great age for a center back is 32. I've always liked that number. I think it's always like their best year because, you know, they're physically, they got the man strength now, you know, they're older, and they've had like at least at that point over a decade of experience and seeing different players playing against different types of players, like all that, like. I think, like, for example, Koulibaly now, who we'll also talk about, so going to Chelsea, I think he's going to get into maybe his best year of his career right now. So a great pickup for Chelsea as well. But, yeah, going back to Dalit, like, he did good at Juventus, but there's also a lot of flaws that he had that he never improved on and doesn't seem like he will anytime soon. I'm sure he will eventually. But I think when you're looking at Juventus, they're a team that they rebuild, then they unrebuild, and they get some old guys in. Then they rebuild, and then they unrebuild. It's like constant, you know, back and forth. I mean, you're bringing Pogba, Di Maria, these guys here. I think it's a win-now team. And I think, you know, getting rid of Dalit for 80 mil and getting someone like Remed, who is young, but he's also, you know, he's 25. He's getting into his prime soon. I think it's a great move for Juventus. And, of course, Dalit's a good player, but I think Bremer is someone that you would need, able to contribute more. And Dalit's quick, but when you're beside Bonucci, you need someone who can fly, like really cover for him. And I think Bremer would allow Bonucci now to sit back deeper and, you know, let Bremer deal with all the, you know, chasing Lukaku and chasing all these guys. Well, Bonucci could be the ball-playing center back that he loves to be and really going to help him a lot, kind of like Chiellini was for him. So, yeah, I think it's a good move for Juventus. You know, it's going to be 70 mil plus 10 million easy add-ons I saw, so about 80 mil in total. Great deal, I'd say. And, it would only be a bad deal if you don't get Bremer, and then you're forced to look at other options like Pau Torres. So I don't know a lot about, you know, Dan said he can be good at Juventus. I'm not too sure. I haven't seen him myself. But, you know, it's going to be tough. I think Bremer is perfect because he knows the Serie A. He's played here. He's literally the best center back in the Serie A. He won that award. So, I don't know. It's tough. But, I don't know. I don't think it's a bad deal. I think Juventini. Obviously still fresh, so it's annoying, but I think in a couple of years you look back at it and say, wow, we got a great deal for 80 mil there. Unless Dalit becomes a world beater, which I don't see happening because he gets more handballs and tackles completed. So, Dan, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think, especially for the price that he's going at, I feel like it's a good price as well. I think Juve brought him in for 65 million and they're selling him close to 80, so it's kind of like a 50 million profit. I believe, right? Essentially, you guys brought him in for 65 million.
If I remember correctly, I think it was closer to 70, 75.
Okay, so like a, say 10 to 50 million.
You at least broke even, guaranteed. At least broke even.
And I feel like if you sell them, then that's money towards more players than say if you keep them. Because if you go after a guy like Paul Torres, Premier, you'll still have close to 35 million left. Then you could bring in maybe, who knows, a starting goalkeeper, bring in a right back, bring in a left back, bring in this, that. Like you can upgrade positions you need or even get like players to help compromise the starters. And I feel like, yeah, him going to Bayern too, and for me, I feel like you take that deal any day of the week because at Bayern, they have like four or five guys like they constantly play. And it's like, okay, they're giving you free money then, you can see at that time. Because I feel like at Bayern, the mistakes he's made at Juve, I don't think he'll be able to make them at Bayern because of just the way they coach. But yeah, it's a good, I feel like Juve fans at the time, like, we now have to go get a center back. But like you said, and I feel like in a couple of years or so, especially because Juve are in a win now situation, especially Champions League, I feel like this is their chance to maybe make that push for Champions League because they already had the Scudettos and Juve fans, they don't want Scudettos, they want Champions Leagues. And I feel like to build a team to win Champions League, you need kind of like veteran guys who've played in Champions League and players who don't make mistakes in crucial moments, which Dele at times he has. And I feel like a guy like Bremer, I feel like he could be that type of guy to help Bonucci because of his pace. But I also think they could go after a guy, again, Paul Torres, because he's played in semifinals. He won Europa League with Villarreal. So he's got that he's got that championship mentality, which I know Frenchel likes. Bremer, he hasn't played in Europe yet. So I feel like if you weigh your options, you would most likely go after the guy who's played in Europe more than just the guy who, again, Bremer a couple years ago wasn't really talked about, but last year he took that big step. So who knows if Bremer goes to like a team like Juve or Inter, who knows if he can replicate that form. Sometimes these guys, they make a jump to a big team and they take a step back. But only time will tell. I feel like Juve should focus more on Paul Torres than Bremer, but that's just my opinion because of just what he's done in Europe and just what he's done for Villarreal.
Yeah, well said, Dan. I think, first of all, just quickly getting to Dele here, I think he's really screwed us over. He's definitely put a pin in our Mercato. From the start, Arriva Bene and Cherubini have been doing phenomenal work with Di Maria, Pogba. It was looking like we were getting Zaniolo, obviously bringing Morata back. We were really making moves that we needed to make. And then the lid situation almost came out of nowhere, and now kind of all our eggs have to be focused on getting a replacement for Dilett, because realistically, if we don't get any replacement, our starting center backs are going to be Bonucci and Rugani, unless Gatti, I know he's wearing the number 15, like Barzagli, unless he's the next Maldini or something that Juve management knows something we don't with Gatti. It's not looking good for Juve unless we get someone like Bremer. And I'm very disappointed in Dilett. I think I almost feel like he used Juve as a sponge almost. He was a young boy from Ajax. He had all the potential in the world. Comes to a team like Juve for a hefty fee. He learns from the best you could learn from with Chiellini and Bonucci. And I believe Barzagli was on the coaching staff for at least a year when Dilett was here, if I'm not mistaken. So he's definitely learned from the best. And then the minute Chiellini left, it's kind of, even last year, it was his defense. Obviously, it's Bonucci as the ringleader, but it was definitely his defense to take over with Dilett last year with Chiellini only playing in those big, big, important matches. And obviously, Chiellini leaves Dilett. He has that extra role to step into, and I feel like it's his time to kind of finally break out of his shell and shine. And he kind of just ran away, which is very strange. Obviously, money talks. And the money he's making at Bayern is ridiculous. I personally don't think he's worth, I think I saw somewhere it's 12 mil a year. I really don't think he should be making money like that as of yet. But he saw the dollar signs and he ran with it. I think at Bayern it's going to be very similar to Juve. It's just a domestically strong team. Obviously, they're obviously going to be favorites in Champions League as well. they're a very strong team. So in his mind, he's going to a strong team with more money. So, you know, good for him, I guess. But I think he really put a pin in Artur Mercado. And I think the fans loved him and he was loved here. So who knows how that love is going to be replicated in Germany. But speaking about replacements, I think, obviously, I've been saying Bremer is the number one target. Obviously, since I think Skriniar's just not going to happen. But I think Pau Torres, I think that's a move that needs to happen as well. I don't think it's an option between Bremer and Pau Torres. When I say Bremer, I think that has to be the first option we get, only because of the severity with Inter. I think that just needs to be a deal that's done quicker with Pau Torres. I don't see any other team going for him. I think Juve are kind of the only team interested in him at this moment. So I think we have a bit more time to get that deal done, whereas Bremer has to be now or never. Obviously, we lost Chiellini. We never replaced him. So I feel like we need Bremer for that Chiellini replacement. And then we also need a De Ligt replacement, which is which I would like Pau Torres. If we don't get Bremer, unfortunately, I think we get Pau Torres and someone like Kimpembe or Milinkovic. But we do need that Bremer, Pau Torres. We need both of them, not just one of them. So I think if we go for that, that'll be, it'll lessen the blow from De Ligt, and, hopefully we can, survive and teach Bremer in Europe. And obviously if we do have Pau Torres, he could play the Champions League and Bremer in the Serie A. I think that would be a good, healthy balance and mix.
Yeah, we'll see. They definitely put a wrench in Juve's Mercato. Obviously, now it's a whole new level of stress you got to deal with all of a sudden. But yeah, that closes up our Juve section of the pod. Now we got some Napoli stuff coming up here. So Koulibaly, we know how good he is. I think you can easily say he's been Napoli's best player like the last, how long, Dan? 7 years been there, I believe?
6, 7 years. 2014. You're right.
Yeah, so
say it's 7, 8 years, yeah.
That's he's been incredible, and I know obviously when you play Napoli, you got to worry about like Insigne and all these guys, right? But obviously the one guy that like, you're like, ooh, it's Koulibaly, like he's so annoying to play against. I remember all those times like Zaniolo would, you know, get the best of Matuidi over and over again, and then who's right behind him? Koulibaly. He's like,
yeah,
he's so irritating to play against. Easily the best center back in the Serie A. Obviously Chiellini, I'd say better, but. The last couple of years, obviously, Chiellini's not the same. Chiellini's older now. But Koulibaly is one of the most annoying players to go up against. Rival teams, I know we're all going to be happy. You don't have to deal with him anymore. He's a big game changer when he's there. I'm surprised he left. You know, he loves Naples. I couldn't see him really leaving. But, you know, if you're a Koulibaly also, you're at the age where you got 1 year left in your contract. Napoli obviously want to make money. You don't want to lose it for free. Like, that's the last thing you want. So I think it's good business by Napoli, right? You know, your hands are kind of forced, I guess, unless you pay him the big bucks to stay. I think Koulibaly offered all that he could. And I think now if he doesn't want to win a Champions League or, you know, move up in Europe, it's a good move for him, I guess, to go. He gave everything he had for Napoli. I don't think fans will blame him for leaving. I haven't seen anybody really upset at him. More at AVL because he's really ruined the team, this transfer market. And last year, too, like, not renewing Insigne, like, all this stuff went on. But, yeah, you know, I'm happy for Koulibaly. He's a good guy. Everyone loves him. It's hard not to like him. You know, you got to be happy for the guy. He's got a great opportunity ahead of him in the Prem. And now he can really get the recognition that he deserves. Everyone knows he's good around the world, but nobody really watches Serie A unless, you know, like you're Italian or you got some kind of link to a team here. But, you know, the Prem, like everyone watches on their free time if you're not a Prem fan. And all the eyes will be on him now. He can really get the recognition he deserves. And I'm sure... you know, Napoli got good money for him, and he gets a great opportunity. So I think it's a win-win, but obviously it's unfortunate that he won't, you know, be continuing with Napoli. It's going to be sad for Napoli Tani, but Dan, what do you think about the whole situation?
Yeah, no, I don't blame Koulibaly at all. I'm not even going to debate who I blame because it causes a big controversy, which I'm going to avoid. But yeah, I don't blame Koulibaly at all. He's at the point where we could have sold him a couple of years ago for $80 million, but we didn't, and I don't think he wanted to leave regardless. But now he's at the point where he's 31, I think 31, close to 32. And it's his time to win now. And I feel like with the way Napoli were going, just seeing all these guys leaving, Ospina, Mertens, Insigne, Goulam as well, who was a fixture for us, and now Koulibaly, I feel like we're not going towards a win now or pushing for a Scudetto. I feel like Koulibaly wants to win, and I feel like going to Chelsea gives them the best opportunity to win because they got some good players now. They're bringing in Sterling. They brought in Sterling. Brought in Koulibaly. Looks like they might go for Kimpembe, maybe Ake as well. So they're trying to build a team to win the Premier League and also maybe potentially win the Champions League again. And I feel like Koulibaly wants to be part of that. And just, undoubtedly, he's not going to win anything in the next 2 to 3 years, which are crucial years for him, especially because if he, say, he did decide to resign with us, he would have been 34, which is still a young age for a center back, but also you start to lose a lot of your traits, such as pace, because of just potential injuries or just you getting up there in age. But I feel like Koulibaly in the Premier League under Thomas Tuchel, who is a very good defensive coach, I feel like he'll maybe slot into the top two center back by midway. He's such a great person to have, a leader too. And he's just a good person to have in the locker room, good person to have if you meet him on the streets. He loves the fans. He talks nothing but good about any place he goes to. And I'm excited. I'm happy for the guy. I'm excited to see what he can bring to the Premier League, especially now that all these Premier League fans can finally witness Koulibaly and why people talk about him as him being the second best center back in the world. And United fans can finally see why, can finally cry about a real center back, watching a real center back play instead of Harry Maguire, where they valued him more than Koulibaly. But we'll talk about that, that's a different topic. And yeah, just to our Mercato now. It started off okay, bringing in Kvaratskhelia, who's a very talented player. He's been very impressive these two preseason games, but I'm not going to toot his horn just yet because, again, they're lower competitions. I want to see him against the best, but the talent's there. So him being the potential senior replacement, I'm okay with. I know you're never going to replace Koulibaly. You're never going to replace Insigne. You're never going to replace Mertens because of just the way what they've brought to the city and what they've done for Napoli these past 5+ years. And then bring in Oliveira for a Goulam replacement, which I was very happy about because we needed a left back for a long time. Rui, he had a very good season last year, but you can't rely on him to play 50+ games every year. So bringing in a guy like Oliveira, who's one of the best left backs in La Liga for the past 2 years, he was one of the best, maybe top 10, top 7, you can say. It's a very good signing for us. But now this is where my problem happens. There's a lot of dispute between the fans and the ownership of the club. And I don't blame the fans because we let our top, you could say our most 4 influential players in the past couple years leave. And we only made $40 million off of them. Mertens, I know he's not officially gone, but he's not with the team. He's a free agent. He can sign anywhere else. And it seems like, I don't know, I feel like we need to hurry up with these deals. Go bring in Kim. Obviously, you're not going to replace Koulibaly. There's no replacement in the world for Koulibaly. There's nothing. And bringing in Ostergaard as a 20-day replacement, it's a very, I like the signing. I feel like he could be a potential future center back for us. He's very physical. He can win a lot of aerial duels. He brings that physicality. He brings, like, he's a great, I feel like he could be a great center back in the future. And now you need to bring in a guy like Kim. I feel like Kim, for us, I know we're linked with guys like Diallo from PSG, who hasn't really played much, so I can't really judge. And then Ajakami, I think his name is, from Dortmund. He's another one that now we're linked with. Achurbi, don't even get me started. That shouldn't even be a consideration. Achurbi should be signing for TFC, not for Napoli. I feel like out of all those center backs, I feel like Kim would suit us the most because he brings pace, he's very good on the ball, and he plays the left side, which, if you watch Napoli games, Koulibaly played the left side a lot of times. And I feel like that's where we need. We need someone who's got pace, who's tall, which Kim is. He's 6'3". He's excellent playing out from the back, which it seems like Napoli are trying to implement that style now, because we've been playing for that style, I should say, for the last couple of years, playing out from the back. And we needed a guy like him. I feel like he would fit our system perfectly. And at Fibonacci, he did play the 4-2-3-1, which seems like Napoli are going to play. And we also need a kind of maybe re-sign Mertens and go get Delafeu. I know now we're out 110%. We're out of the Dybala sweepstakes because he's joined Roma. The first thing they should have done when those news broke out, who knows if we were even linked with Dybala. That for me, I wouldn't be surprised if a statement comes out that we weren't even linked. It was just a tactic that the agent used. But we should go get Delafeu because I feel like he will fit our system a lot more. Obviously, Dybala would have been nice, but I feel like he would fit our system. And go re-sign Mertens, because this guy, you need someone. You need a leader. You need an older guy to be that leader. Now Di Lorenzo, their captain. Hopefully he can step up to the plate, become a leader that we need. But go re-sign Mertens. Go get Simeone. Sell Petagna. Sell Una. Sell, if Politano wants to leave, get rid of him. Go get guys. Go get Delafeu. Re-sign Mertens. Go get Simeone. Go get a keeper, too, because we need a keeper. I know Meret, you give him a chance, whatever. But if Meret gets hurt, we got Quintini, who I'm not sold on. We got Marfella, who I'm not sold on. We got Idesak, who's just got promoted from the Primavera. You need to go get a guy. Go get Navas. I'll take Kepa as well from Chelsea. I would take him. Honestly, I feel like he would do good on Napoli. And go get these guys. Go get Simeone. Go get Delafeu. Go get Kepa, go get Kim, get these guys in, and you gotta make this quick because preseason, we got 4 games left of preseason, and then regular season starts. I don't want to head into the season where Juan Jesus and Romani are our starting center backs. I want to solidify that back line, and I want to solidify the goalkeeping position. Delafeu, I'm okay with if he comes in closer to the season as well, because I know he's had some injuries, and I feel like we might be closing in on a deal quickly, and I know Ostergaard today, he has medical, so that deal should be done soon. Go get these guys. I know people want to say, oh, we can get the ball out of Napoli and don't care, we don't have a replacement. Well, if you go get all the guys I just named, I'm okay with not getting Dybala, because you save with the money that you're going to pay Dybala, I feel like you could pay 2 or 3 of these guys, and I feel like they would fit our system more than Dybala because of just the players we already have. And hopefully, God willing, someone in Napoli listening to this, can you just replay this message to our owners? I'm not going to say De Laurentiis, because it's more than just De Laurentiis that we have to worry about. Go get these guys, because if you want to build your team for the next 2-3 years, these are the guys you need that will help you take that next step, okay? So hopefully they can listen. Hopefully I'm right at the end of this we look back on this podcast and I'm right about all the players that we bring in, because these are the type of guys that we need if we want to remain top 4. Because as of right now, I don't think we're getting top 4. Just the way this mercato is gone, I don't think we get top 4. But if we want to remain top 4, maybe even make a push for Scudetto, these are the guys you need, because these are going to be future replacements for the players that we lost.
Dan, I just have one question for you. If you guys sign Mertens, if you re-sign Mertens,
yes,
does he trump Di Lorenzo and become captain, or is like
Di Lorenzo? No, because Mertens will not play every game. He will come in. He won't start. I see it like this. I know the captain's armband means a lot. He's a leader on the field. Doesn't mean Mertens won't be captain out in the locker room. I feel like if you re-sign Mertens, which I feel like now at this point, signing Delafeu, re-signing Mertens, signing Kim, please, hopefully, go get a keeper and get Simeone, those are musts now. I just feel like you can't go into the season where Petagna is a backup striker, because he hasn't really proven that he should be on this team. If anything, he should be a monster right now. You need a Delafeu, because you lost, as of right now, okay, Politano might leave. Okay, you can't really trust Zerbin. I know they want to try these kids out, try Garitano, try Zerbin, but they haven't played in Serie A yet. So maybe loan them out to a lower Serie A team just for this year and then you bring them in for next season. But you have to get a guy like De La Feu, re-sign Mertens, because Mertens is one of the most influential person in Napoli. He's one of the most influential, like, figure in Napoli right now. People love him. His kid was born in Napoli. His family, he loves the city. The fans love him. He's got great connections with the coaching staff. His best friend is our kit manager, who Napoli fans love. So him, he is Napoli. He may have been born in Belgium, but he's Napoli done. So re-signing Mertens, for me, is a must right now, especially losing out on Dybala. So re-sign Mertens, sign De La Feu, get Simeone, get out keeper, and get Kim. Those are my to-do, my wish list for Napoli. For me to consider this a successful Mercato, those are the players. I know we lost a lot of players. I know Koulibaly, you'll never replace. Insigne, it's going to be very hard to replace. Ospina, okay, he's probably the most replaceable on that list. But losing to, say, Koulibaly and Insigne, I understand it sucks. But if Napoli are heading towards a direction where a lot of these guys, okay, we have to sell, we have to lose a lot of these guys, but we want to take a step forward. Because teams, Milan did it, Inter has done it, Juve have done it a few times, and it's paid out at times. So hopefully, I'm praying that hopefully in the next 2 to 3 years, the guys we do bring in, they take that next step and they make Napoli a powerhouse. I understand. I hate when Koulibaly left, I was in tears. When Insigne left, I was in tears. When Mertens signs anywhere else, I'll be in tears. But for me, you have to just, okay, it happens in sports. They move on. You have to just figure out, okay, what do we have to do to, again, get the fans back, get some hype around the city. Re-sign Mertens, get these guys in, and prove a lot of people wrong. That's what Napoli has to do. And I'm hoping they do, because if they don't finish top four this year, if they don't even compete for the Scudetto, I feel like fans want us to compete to the Scudetto. And I feel like if that doesn't happen, if we finish fifth, a lot of changes are going to happen and a lot of fans are going to be very pissed off unless something crazy happens, like, knock on wood, we get sold to, like, kind of like we get sold.
Yeah, no.
And I hate to break it to you. You could sign whoever you want. But if you're telling me Di Lorenzo is the only person on Napoli capable of wearing that armband, my God, you have way bigger issues to worry about than making these signings.
I really don't care who's our captain, honestly. At this point, I don't care who's our captain. We can even put, I will be okay with Zielinski captain. For me, that armband means nothing. Okay?
And that's the problem.
Nothing. No, the armband means nothing unless you're... because there's a lot of players on that team who are vocal, okay? Like, there's a lot of teams. There's a lot of captains in this world that you look at them, like, how are they captain? You're telling me, okay, I understand Messi's one of the best players of all time, okay? Probably the best player of all time. But you're telling me he's the most vocal player on Argentina? You're telling me he's the one that gets in vocal player on Argentina? You're telling me Harry Maguire's vocal enough to lead United? You're telling me there's no one else? Like, for me, the captain armband now, that's the least of my worry, actually. Obviously, it's an honor to wear, and I feel like Di Lorenzo will, because he plays in a lot of games, and he plays for the badge, and that's why I'm okay with him being captain. He plays for the badge, and that's what you need. You need a guy that plays for the badge, that's your captain. So for me, I'm not worried who my captain is, but it'll be nice to just get replacements in and have a guy like Mertens be a leader in the locker room, because that's what you need. You need guys who can lead in the locker room, and then when they come on the field, they make an impact. And that's what Mertens is, especially now that he's a bit older. He can come into games and he can create magic from nothing.
Yeah, no, well said, Dan. You went over Napoli Mercato, the leadership scenario, a lot of stuff going on in Napoli. It's a very tough situation right now with so many legends and leaders leaving the club all at once, with only not even a month left for the Serie A, which I've never really seen a scenario like this. The Champions League team with so much stuff and work to do in the Mercato left. but we'll see what happens. Hopefully, you know, for your sake, Dan, and other Napoli fans, things start, you know, moving in a positive direction. But yeah, to end off the pod, Paulo Dybala to Roma. I saved it for the end. I had a lot of DMs on Twitter. People want me to talk about it. So here we are. Where do I start? It's a player I've wanted for a long time now. You can go back to the 7th grade, 8th grade, Serie B. I remember when I first saw Dybala, you know, number 9 on Palermo, young kid, Argentine. I watched him on the ride with my dad. We, you know, put on a random Serie B game, and I saw him. I'm like, wow, this kid's incredible. I really enjoyed watching him, just his creativity, his speed, the way he changed direction so quick. The ball would stick at his foot. Like, instantly I knew he'd be, you know, a player that would reach a high level. And I just continued watching Palermo games and kept watching. And eventually, you know, he went to Juventus. I was heartbroken. Someone I wanted out of Roma. And obviously now it happened. But at the time, you know, I believe 21 or 20. Yeah, I think it's 21 or 20. And he went ahead and moved to Juventus. And obviously did well there. You know, had a lot of great moments in Champions League from himself. A nice goal scored. That free kick, absolute bomb. I'm sure for Chen knows I'm talking about from, like, the corner flag area. When he curled in there, I don't know how that went in. The goal against Barca, you know, when he destroyed MSN, everyone knows that game. Very famous game. I'm sure Fichet enjoyed that one. Yeah, obviously, Serie A MVP, won 5 Scudetti, countless accomplishments. He had a great Juventus career there. Got to wear the Piero's number 10. So, obviously, it's a big signing for Roma. You can argue it's one of the, like, biggest we've ever had in terms of popularity. You know, 47 million followers on Instagram, but never had a player that's that well-renowned around the world of football. So that's great for us marketing-wise. Talent-wise, definitely, you know, you can argue him and Batistuta. Transfer fee-wise, I'm not saying obviously Totti is a different level, but we never bought Totti. He's always been a part of the club, De Rossi too. But transfer fee-wise, and it's like bringing in from a free agency or a different team, Dybala might be the best we've ever had, or at least up there, like I said. And when I first saw the rumors starting around this time last week, it was, you know, probably about Inter probably using Roma-Napoli to get the price up. But then Di Marzio started saying, oh, Roma-Napoli having talks with him, Spalletti called him, Mourinho called him. Then I'm like, oh, wow, it's actual interest. But he's not going to pick Roma. Like, we don't have Champions League. But then I was thinking about it more, and, like, obviously, like you said, that Napoli's in a rebuild situation right now. It wouldn't be, I don't think it'd be a good move for Napoli to pay him that much when you're not, like, a win-now team. And at the same time, I don't think it'd be a good move for Dybala to, you know, going this prime into a rebuilding team where a lot of guys just left. So realistically, Roma was really the only option. I know we have Europa League football right now, but, like, most likely, Napoli probably, no offense, then most likely the group stage, I'm sure you agree, for a Champions League. Making a faster group might be tough. So I'm sure Dybala saw that as well. And he picked the Roma project, which, being completely unbiased, I think is probably the most appealing project he had offered to him. Inter, obviously, they're in a very tough spot. They're close to him, and he brought in Lukaku. I mean, they overestimated their budget because they said, we'll get Lukaku and Dybala. But once they got Lukaku, they got to remember, Sanchez making bank. Like, for a bench player, he's making bank right now. Dzeko is making, I think, $4.5 million off the bench. Like, you can't pay all these forwards over $4 million a year. Like, it's not possible. So they tried getting rid of Sanchez. He rejected it. And who wouldn't? I think he makes $7 million, Sanchez, up there. Off the bench, like, he makes quite a bit of money.
Yeah,
so.
I remember seeing something that they were having trouble with his release or something. That's why they told Dybala's agent to hold off, or else this deal could have been done a couple months ago, say Sanchez was easily released. But I think they were having trouble even selling him or just releasing him.
Yeah, and the problem is because he's making $7 million a year, and obviously, you're not going to make that if he leaves Inter. Like, who the hell is going to pay Sanchez that money elsewhere? He's like, okay, if I stay here off the bench and make $7 million, easy money. I saw Inter offer him like $4 million to terminate his contract, but why would he take $4 million when he's going to make $7 million? You know what I mean? So, yeah, he was never going to leave Sanchez. It's just too tough to get rid of him when you're making that much money at this age. So, Inter really messed up with when they initially signed him. Obviously, did well, but you got to remember for years to come, you know, to pay him that much money when he's older, it's a big risk. And it really hurt them because they could have had, if they got rid of Dzeko and Dybala, they could have had Dybala, Lautaro, Lukaku, which is very scary to go up against. I mean, that would all happen. Then it was on to Roma-Napoli, like I said. And Di Marzio said, Spalletti gave him a call, Mourinho gave him a call. And I think he said last night where it really changed. The Friedkins called him. Mourinho called him again. Pinto called him. He flew to Torino to talk to him. I feel like Roma is taking him more seriously. I think Napoli have other things to worry about right now, so it's kind of hard to focus on Dybala. Looking for, the, like you said, Dan Kim. You know, Ostergaard's getting finalized. All the stuff really going on. Roma really don't have too much going on, so that was their main focus. And when, you know, when Jose Mourinho calls you, you're going to pick up the phone. That's all they got to Abraham. Guys like this don't come to Roma for Jose Mourinho. He's a figure that a lot of players want to play under, and that really helped the transfer go through. In terms of fit, like, well, news just came out, I think, like half an hour ago that Zaniolo is likely to stay at Roma. Juventus turned their attention to Morata right now. Sky Sports just reported. So it looks like Zaniolo will be staying. It's most likely going to be – actually, I don't even know, to be honest. Might see Pellegrini on the left like he plays for Italy, which – surprisingly does well there. Which,
I saw something, maybe a 4-3-1-2.
Yeah, that could be it.
With Pellegrini at the cam, and then Tammy and Dybala up top. And then
yeah,
maybe
that could be nasty.
Or 4-2-3-1. Sorry, with Matic and Cristante as a holding. You go Zaniolo or Pellegrini, like you said, ends on the left. Dybala in the middle, Zaniolo on the right, and Tammy up top.
Yeah, there's a lot of options, which, you know, it's never a bad thing. It's a good problem to have with all these talented players. Zaniolo is looking like the old Zaniolo right now. I think a big problem with Zaniolo was, obviously, he missed 2 years. It's going to hurt you. But also, he put on too much muscle mass, which, you know, when you're too bulky, like, you look like Adama Traore. He's quick, obviously, but he doesn't turn too well off the ball. And I think Zaniolo suffered from that a little bit, put on too much muscle. Now he came back a lot more skinnier like he used to be. Still strong, but more lean. And he seemed much better now in preseason, moving like he used to. Obviously, goals really mean absolutely nothing in preseason, but I'm looking at the way he's moving, which all I'm interested in, and he's looking really good. So, yeah, if we can keep Zaniolo, which is looking like likely now, Pellegrini sat down with him for about half an hour after training. They sat down on the grass and just talked. And Mourinho talked to him again in the armband last game, so it's looking good right now in terms of Zaniolo remaining. But, yeah, Dybala, $3 million. I mean, $3 million, 3 years, $6 million. I'll take any day. It's really $4.5 million, but plus bonuses, it goes up to $6 million. So I'll take that all day for a player like him. And a player of his quality, everyone's saying, oh, he gets injured, oh, all this. Realistically, a team like Roma Napoli will never be in the conversation to get a player like Dybala unless there's some kind of issue like that. Unless he's free or has injury. Like, if he's healthy.
And it's a risk you have to take, I feel like. Especially if you're trying to make that next push. A guy like Dybala, okay, there's a time where he's going to Inter. But then all of a sudden, Inter asked them to lower his wage because he was asking way too much. Clubs didn't want to pay what he wanted at first. And then he goes, okay, I'll accept to lower my wage. And then you see all these clubs backing out. And then it was just us. Well, who knows with Napoli? I know I've seen this story before where we're linked with a player. We all get hyped, goes to another team, and then rumors have it that we weren't even linked. It was just a marketing, like not marketing, but like a strategy from the agent. And like again, like I feel like it's a risk you gotta take because when Dybala is healthy, he's a game changer.
He's the best player in my opinion in the league.
Yeah, I think he's top three in the league. Just game changer. Like he can score, he can create, but the big question mark around him is his injury and his health. And I feel like a team like Roma, that's a risk you can take. I feel like at Napoli more, I feel like if we really wanted to, I just don't think we wanted to take that risk. And that's why Roma, like they're set up to, hey, they can make top four because they took that risk. It all depends if Dybala stays healthy because if he's injured, Roma played it smart. They have a $20 million release clause on him. Say if he's injured, a team might want to say, okay, you know what? We need a guy just to fill in. They can pay. Roma will make profit off of him. They'll make good profit off of him. $20 million is not a bad price for a player who's turning 29 and he hasn't been healthy. But if he pads out, then Roma definitely got to steal in this.
Yeah.
So it all depends on his health. And I feel like that's a huge question mark, but it's a risk that a lot of teams should take because at the end of the day, this guy's a very good player and a team will benefit from having him when he's on the field.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, like if he's healthy, let's say Dybala's healthy, he's on Juventus. He's never going to Roma or Napoli ever if he's healthy. There's no chance.
I don't think he's leaving Juve, unless they get like an offer like 60, 70 million.
And the whole Juve scenario, a lot of Juve fans, I don't know what they're looking at. This is what really happened. DiMarzio said it, Leo Bennett said it. He was offered 8 million in October. He said he'd sign it. And then in January, Oliva Bennett pulled the offer and said, "You're not in our plans anymore." He was going to stay with Juventus. He did not want to leave. Juve fans got the whole story wrong. He was offered $8 million. He was going to sign it, and then they pulled the table the offer from him.
He goes, "You know what? I think I can get more elsewhere." He wanted to test the market and realize, and a few clubs said, "No, you have to lower your wages because it's ridiculous what you want, especially because he's injury prone." And he goes, "Okay, I'll lower my wage," and Roma snatched him up.
Yeah, and I like how the way the contract's set up. You know, it's good for both parties. Roma, it's $4.5 million. If he meets a certain amount of appearances that he hits and scores a certain amount of goals, then it goes up to $6 million, which is smart because you want to make sure he's available. I think he'll be available. Our medical team's top quality. You know, we fired them all the season before. We saw this year Zaniolo played over 40 games. Karsdorp, who, you know, he tore his ACL as well twice. He played, I think, 50 games or something. He played a lot of games. Like, our medical team's top-notch. We know how to, you know, we have players to rest Dybala when we need to. And he's in his prime now. He looks physically fit. You know, he's really been working out a lot and strengthening his body. You can see, you know, he posts a lot of videos on Instagram and all that. He looks much stronger than he used to be. He's motivated, chip on the shoulder. A lot of people counting him out. And I've always said on the podcast, not just because he signed for Roma, you can go back to 2-3 years ago. Paulo Dybala is healthy. In my opinion, he's by far the best player in the league. I don't think it's even close. He's just unbelievable. And if we're getting a motivated Dybala in his prime, getting number 10 with the Roma fans behind him, it's going to be something special. I'm excited. Probably going to be, since Totti, probably the most prestigious and loved player in the city. And it's going to be something really, you know, great we're about to win this year. And, yeah, like I said, the contract, three years, it's not a high risk. You know, if he does stay $6 million, 3 years, not too bad. And also, I think what they're going to do, they're both going to test out. We put the release clause in case, you know, Dybala says, "Oh, I want to leave, whatever, Roma, I don't do well." Then he can leave next summer. Feel free, go ahead. But I think if it does work out, the fans love him, which I think is going to happen. He has a great year, which I think is going to happen as well. He stays healthy. I think he'll renew his contract again, take the release clause out, and go from there. But, I think it's a very safe deal from both sides, and excited to see what Dybala can do. Big signing, and we'll see. The Serie A is looking good now because Roma is looking like a powerhouse for once. Inter always looked great. Juventus look like they're coming back. And Napoli, obviously, you guys got a lot of work to do, but not
huge question mark. To be honest, I don't even know what to expect from this team. I honestly don't.
It's a very strange spot. Obviously, I saw fans booing or something on stage or something like that. I saw some video.
I think it's the mayor of the town we were in. And he said, "Thank you to ADL for hosting another successful preseason." Fans started booing. Fans were cheering, go sell us, go to Bali or something along those lines. Just a big mess right now because of the mercato we've had and just everything going on with Napoli. And I don't know. Like, I don't know what to expect this season. I still think we're better than the team's 6-7, but I don't know for – I don't think we are better than Roma right now. And I feel like it's a huge question mark. So
not even close.
Hopefully, by the time we do our predictions or by the time – mercato closes, I can say with a straight face that we are, but as of right now, I just don't think we're top four material. I don't think we're even close to it.
It's a tough spot, especially for a team going to the Champions League. You know, usually that's where you get, you know, you make the upgrades, you keep your best players. It's a weird spot for Napoli, but, you know, you guys got not too much time left. I'm sure, you know, even if you do get the players you want in, it's going to take some time beginning of the year to really get together, you know.
Like, I'm okay almost with
a month. Preseason.
I'm okay with, say, guys coming in, whatever. Okay. This season, we find a way to squeak top four, but then next season, we take a big step and we end up second or something. Like, I'm okay with a year just to get these guys in, get these guys under the style. Then you keep Spalletti again, depending what happens this season, and then go from there. But as of right now, it's just a huge question mark around Napoli, and I'm hoping to find an answer by the time we play Verona that first game.
Yeah, no, we'll see what happens. I'm not sure if there's going to be a pod next week. Obviously, you know, we just came back now because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll make sure we come back if something goes down, you know, some big news. Like, you know, the last month we've seen a lot of big players come to the Serie A or players in the Serie A move clubs. But we'll definitely be back, you know, when it's needed. Season in less than a month, you know, things are going down here. A lot of exciting things happening. And like I said, I'm sure Napoli's going to make a lot of moves now because they're going to have to now. Milan, obviously, they've been quiet as well and didn't really need to be loud because they want to screw ahead. Like, they have a good team already, but I'm sure they'll make some upgrades as well. Atalanta have been pretty quiet. We'll see what happens. Exciting times. And I know Francesco wants to say one more thing before we go, so Francesco, feel free.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout-out. The Italian women play a huge match in the UEFA Women's Euros. Must-win game if they want to qualify for the quarterfinals against Belgium. So I want to wish them luck and also wish local Juventus talent, Giulia Grosso, who's going to be playing in a final against the USA later tonight. So I just want to wish them luck for Italian soccer and obviously Giulia Grosso, Juventus, amazing midfielder.
And
yeah, shout out to them. Yeah, Canada women have the talents. We'll see what goes down with them tonight. I'm sure Trevor will be watching that closely. He's very into women's soccer. But yeah, check us out on social media at Six Side College Show, Twitter and Instagram. It was a long pod, but I'm sure you guys all expected that with all the stuff that went down. But we'll hopefully be back sooner rather than later. And yeah, until next time. Ciao.
Ciao.